Hello, everyone. This is Steve Baker, sometimes known as the Pragmatic Constitutionalist, with another 5 in 10. This is episode number 3 on Wednesday, June 14th of the year 2023. Let's get going. Number 1, the Colorado Republican Party yesterday tweeted that they had negotiated an unprecedented deal with the Libertarian Party of Colorado, saying that if we run more limited government and pro-liberty nominees, they, the Libertarian Party, won't run spoiler candidates. Together, we can break the stranglehold of Democrats' one-party rule over Colorado. This did not sit particularly well with left-leaning libertarians and especially those who are pro-abortion. Now, I responded that this alliance is something that I've been advocating for years, that the Libertarian Party should focus its efforts on primarying all progressive and socialist light rhinos, basically any and all Republicans with liberty ratings below 80%, and there's a ton of those in the GOP. Also, the LP should be less of a party and more of a movement, meaning, so long as they're content to be just members of that pitiful 1% of the vote club every election season, they will always be a single A ball club and will never play in the big leagues. In order to make an impact, they, the Libertarian Party, have to get into the big game, like libertarians known as Ron Paul, Rand Paul, and Thomas Massey, as well as Justin Amash and Gary Johnson, when the two of them also had an R after their names. This is the way for the LP and the GOP, and this dovetails into yesterday's 5 and 10 when I pointed out that so many social libertarians simply do not understand that if we lose the battle over economics and cede our free markets to the neo-communists of the Democratic Party, there won't be any culture battle over social issues. America will devolve into a totalitarian state in which a single group then will dictate to all of us what we can say and what we can do. And in the history of totalitarianism, that never ever goes well for those who believe in the concept of my body, my choice, on any issue with which that saying might apply. Number 2, the autopsy and toxicology report for the shooter in the attack at a Nashville Christian school back in March showed no positive findings of toxicological significance in the blood and urine tests performed. The report indicates that the transgender known as Audrey Hale, that her blood and urine were tested for amphetamines, barbiturates, benzos, cannabinoids, cocaine, fentanyl, methadone, methamphetamines, opiates, oxycodone, and a host of other drugs except for one particular classification, the psychotropic drugs that are found in over 90% of all school shooters found in their legal prescription list and in their bloodstreams. This, despite the fact that Nashville's police chief, John Drake, had previously said that the shooter was under a doctor's care for an emotional disorder. Well, what care? And what psychiatric prescriptions? This non-disclosure adds to the fact that police refuse to release the shooter's manifesto. So what are they hiding from us and why? Number 3, those forward-thinking and trend-setting lawmakers in California are now pushing forward a bill that would define gay men's inability to have children as an infertility issue that needs to be covered by health insurance through expensive surrogacy services. California Bill SB 729 seeks to redefine infertility to be a status as opposed to a medical condition, changing the definition to a person's inability to reproduce either as an individual or with their partner without medical intervention, and would thereby, for instance, classify gay couples as infertile. In other words, take any combination of couples biologically incapable of childbirth, two lesbians, two gay men, any transgender person who has mutilated their genitals and therefore can't procreate. In other words, people who have voluntarily made that choice themselves, and now they will be legally classified as medically infertile. This will now be used as a justification to force health insurance providers to cover the cost of those expensive surrogacy services, driving up the cost of health insurance for the rest of us. This is just another backdoor means of redistributionism in the name of the diversity by means of scientific fraud and perversion. Number four, Rachel Maddow went on the air as Trump was delivering his post-arrest remarks yesterday. And here's what she said. There is a cost to us as a news organization knowingly broadcasting untrue things. We are here to bring you the news. It hurts our ability to do that if we live broadcast what we fully expect in advance to be a litany of lies and false accusations. This is the person, Maddow, who droned on and on, monologue after monologue for months, even years, about that Trump-Russia collusion hoax, which is completely blown up in their faces as a deliberately perpetrated intelligence op in coordination with the Clinton campaign designed specifically to derail Trump's candidacy in 2016. And if we're talking about a Clinton, an NBC news outlet, and the FBI, we're also talking about a well-oiled disinformation cartel with daily collusion on how the news of the day will be disseminated for the benefit of the deep state. Surely no one will ever forget Rachel Maddow's pronouncement about the COVID vaccines back in March of 2021. Do you remember? I quote, this is what she said exactly. Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus does not infect them. The virus cannot then use that person to go anywhere else. It cannot use a vaccinated person as a host to get to more people. Quote unquote. What a load of crap. Oh, and by the way, MSNBC is now leading cable news in ratings after Fox sidelined Tucker. If you watch their shows, at least you know that you're getting your news directly from the bowels of the New World Order, the WEF's Great Reset, BlackRock, George Soros, and whoever is pulling Biden's puppet strings. Number five, this is a little insider baseball for you. The story that I collaborated on with Joe Hanneman of the Epoch Times about the Capitol Police confiscating helmets right before January 6th was the second of our collaborations to get front page coverage in their print edition. It also has turned some heads and captured the attention of some important folk on the Hill. Little things like that story are creating baby steps into getting congressional action from the hand-sitting Republicans on the Hill. It's frustrating to those of us who understand that the fallout of January 6th is much bigger than what the American people even understand, what Congress members are even aware of, and what their donors consider a priority. And let's be honest, it is polling and their donors who are holding us back, holding back the work they need to be doing in Congress on this issue. So until and unless they grasp the blank check that the Department of Justice has been given by the prevailing January 6th narrative to run roughshod over the Bill of Rights, they will continue to not only ignore the First, Fourth, Sixth, and Eighth Amendments that are being trampled upon, but that these precedents being set in federal court will eventually be used against all Americans in a variety of previously frightening and unprecedented circumstances. Fortunately, there was a January 6th hearing yesterday. It was called the House Conservatives on January 6th Investigations and Prosecutions. This can be found on C-SPAN. And in that hearing, House Republican Troy Nehls said that January 6th was, and I quote, an epic law enforcement failure, in part because intelligence was not only ignored by senior leaders of Capitol Police, but, and I quote from Nehls once again, I believe that they hid the intelligence. It's like they wanted this to happen. Well, duh. Where have you heard that before? I'll post the link to that hearing below. It has some powerful moments and is hopefully a good sign that Congress is finally listening to those of us who, quite frankly, have been doing their work for them these past few months. All right, that's it for 5 and 10 today. Please consider joining my locals community where I share content I don't put out anywhere else. It's free to subscribe, but for as little as $5 per month, you can get even more content shared nowhere else, and you can also help us in our continued investigations into government weaponization against the American people, as well as my ongoing revelations about what is happening with regards to January 6th. Simply go to tpc4usa.com, TPC, the number 4, USA.com, or from your app store, download the Locals app and then search for at TPC4USA. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Truth Social with the same handle, at TPC4USA. Thanks a bunch, and I will see you again tomorrow with another 5 and 10.